So one of my favorite things about the Fit and Faith podcast, other than you guys, of course, listening and tagging and things like that, is when you guys come on live. We go live multiple times a week on LinkedIn, YouTube, and Facebook. And you guys were fangirling over today's incredible guest, Heidi Powell. You might know her from Extreme Weight Loss. You might have known her from the incredible magazines or blogs that she has, or maybe just from coaching, or maybe from her relationships, or who knows? She's an incredible mama. She's been featured in so many magazines, on shows, GMA, Dr. Oz, The Doctors. The list goes on. I could keep talking about her rat sheet, but today was deeper than that. And that's one of my favorite things about this show, is getting to go to the places and spaces that you might not always hear about. She talked about being raised in a Mormon household. She talked about how she raises her children today in light of those things. She talked about her relationship and what she's got going on in her entrepreneurial journeys, and really where she's taking that glass ball to plastic ball expression that I talk to you guys about often. She's taking it to another level, and she taught me something new in the process. And so you guys can tune in and be sure to tag Heidi Powell and myself, Tamara Andress, as you share this with your community, because it is golden nugget after golden nugget, and I was so grateful to have this time with her. So tune in and enjoy. Welcome to the Fit and Faith podcast. Fit is an acronym representing founders, innovators, and trailblazers who are looking to live a life wholly, fully, authentically, and truly fit. A space for us to connect on the raw, real stories of mind, body, and soul alignment of entrepreneurs and kingdom leaders. I'm your host, Tamara Andress, and this podcast isn't like the cookie cutter interview experience. I've been coined the entrepreneurial rabbi, and so we do go there, unscripted. No matter how far, wide, deep, or high the there is, my desire is to see people rise from the inside out into their greatest calling by sharing their truest stories, talents, and tips. As a purpose activator and brand builder, I believe our successes and failures are derived from who and whose we are, not what we do. But strategy and vision are equally as important to the mission. So let's cut to the chase together and get fit in faith. Hello, hello. Heidi Powell, y'all.
That was fun. A good intro video. What?
No, my creative designer, Morgan, does all the things. She showed it to me earlier and I was like, ooh, you stole a video. She's like, I did. I screen recorded.
You did a great job.
I knew you'd love it. I was like, I don't know if you're allowed to do that, what the rights are on that. But
hey, I think so. Why not?
I agree. So we're so excited as a community to have you here today. And it was cool. On the intro, I was like, uh-oh, there's her boo. He's in there.
I saw him.
I'm sure you did. The little heart flutter that happens when that happens. Such a fun season. So you guys, if you don't know Heidi Powell, I was telling her offline that I knew of her, but I am not an avid TV watcher, but definitely been in the personal training and fitness realm for several years in my early 20s when I was personal training and doing nutrition consulting. And so extreme weight loss is no stranger to me, but I just never did the whole like, let's follow her type thing, because that wasn't really popular 10 years ago. And so it was incredible to see how life has transpired. And we had Dave Hollis on a few, actually it was last year during the beginning stages of COVID. And so here we are now. And it's really cool because my community has followed him and been able to support and cheer him on in the seasons that he's been through. And so it's beautiful to see how God works.
I agree. I'm happy to be here from my bedroom floor.
I know. I was like, Heidi's in the house. Literally, she's in the house.
I am. This is where I've gotten all my work done today. This just so happens to be the quiet space with decent lighting. So here we are. I'm happy to be here. Thank you. Thanks for finding me through Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, it's so fun. No, it's been a pleasure to follow along. And now you're one of my favorite stories to capture on Instagram. I'm like, ooh, what's she doing? What product is she using? I love your lip plumper stuff.
It's so good. I know. I agree. I can get you.
I love it. Thank you so much. So I'm excited to dive in. So often I don't really go through like a rap sheet of the person, because I'll do that on the intro and stuff. And I really like to have more authentic conversation than just like a bio that they can get off of their website. I want to hear, because we know kind of the backstory of what you've been doing in the past. What are you working on like most passionately right now?
So it's funny because I live by this theme in my life, like who you were yesterday doesn't mean you have to be that person today, and who you are today isn't who you have to be tomorrow. And so it is so nice to be able to use my experience and my profession and my knowledge to kind of create so many different things. Right now, I would say the thing that I'm working on that is the most exciting is Dave and I are doing a 60-day Get Fit Challenge, which is really, really, really exciting because I have a couple decades of fitness experience. I've been a trainer since right out of high school. Obviously, extreme weight loss was, that's what we did, roping that in with some emotional, mental, spiritual work. And so to be able to do something where I get to use my expertise, and Dave has had this incredible transformation. I don't know if you've been watching him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. He's stepping up to the plate. I see.
We didn't even know he had that potential in him. And I did. And not that I needed him to, but he got a taste, a few workouts, and he would see results and be like, okay, wait, hold on. If I can do this, what else can I do? Okay, wait. Okay, now I'll listen here. I'll eat more. I'll whatever it is. I'll do these lifts. And his body has just been morphing and transforming. And it's more a testament to we are the creator. We have like a blank canvas, right? And we get to do what we want. And it's really fun. And when you understand the control that you have, the power that you have to do what you want, it's food isn't scary anymore. Working out suddenly doesn't seem daunting or hard. There's freedom in it. And so this has been the 60-day challenge that we're doing. A fitness program and challenge where people can win a trip to come see me and Dave and hang out with us for a day. It was born out of people asking, wanting to know, what plan is Dave following? How can I follow along? Can we do this together? So Dave and I, just in our spare time, which we don't have much of it.
Oh yeah. That's just abundant. I love it so much.
We've been diving in and just creating a ton of new exercise moves and workouts and things that have never been seen on my programs before. And when paired with the right life lessons and emotional work, it creates lasting transformation.
1,000%. And you know, like that 60-day time frame is when that like habitual training is supposed to lock in. And so I think it's so important to like be in that, because some people will be like a 21-day challenge or a 7-day challenge or a 30-day challenge. And it's simply not enough. Like, we know that like as humans, we naturally organically fall back into rhythm with comfort zones. And it's not comfortable in a food realm. It's not comfortable in a fitness realm to do something that's out of the norm. But once you get into rhythm, it's like that taste that he got. He's like, oh my gosh, there's actually change. Now you can't get enough and you become a fiend.
That's it. And the goal of the program for us was to make it enticing enough and fun enough to keep people's attention for that period of time. Because many people will start a program, and if it's 21 days, if it's 7 days, whatever it is, they don't give it, like you said, they don't give it enough time, or it's not exciting enough. They're not seeing results quick enough to actually stay on the program. And so that's why Dave and I are heavily involved in it. We're going to be going live. We've done, like I said, new movements, new exercises. We're going to be sprinkling nutrition education, and it's exciting. And it's always more fun when you have a community of people doing it. Yeah. And we're going to have a great community. We
are
going to
be cool, because for a long while you were doing a lot of women, right? It was mainly all women. So now there's this, well, I guess when you and Chris had things going on, there was multiple, but like to be able to integrate all of that, and also the playfulness, right? I think that's a really big piece that I'm sure emotionally and spiritually there was like that detraction of when you're going through hard things. And now to step back into this place of let fitness be fun and playful and integrate that into your life. Like, everyone wants to raise their hand to that. I do. I know.
Yeah. I believe that a relationship is so much easier. The ones that I've been in, they're smoother in periods of time where you have common goals. Like, you want to have common priorities, of course, on a more foundational level. But when you can set a goal together and you can work towards something and achieve it, I have more fun with the person. There's that shared bonding. There's all of the things that I think you want in a relationship. And so it does, and it makes your journey, your transformation that much stickier. It's something that you'll probably keep on with beyond the term of the challenge because you have somebody in it with you.
100%. Do you feel like, and I'm curious, since you did step into the personal training thing so early on, from a identity perspective, right? I know this is kind of like a big conversation that everybody's going to. And I know that you've even stepped into the coaching realm, not just from a fitness and nutrition side, but from a personal transformation side. How long would you say, or what around what age do you feel like, and maybe you're still doing it, I sure am, that you felt like, okay, like I've unlocked something in me that I am more than just my body, or I am more than just my physical being? Because I think women who are fit, and fitness being a priority in our lives, we can get stuck into that cyclone of like popularized body image, and it's hard to take a step back. So when did you know, like from a mental and identity perspective, that you're more than that?
That's actually a really good question. I have a couple different answers, a few different things to say about that, because I do believe that this is a part of my evolution and a human evolution in general, is to understand that, right? So for me, I don't know if you know this, but I had a really terrible eating disorder from the time I was 14, 15 through 24, 25 through having kids. And even though the binge purge, I mean, it was bad. It started as anorexia, turned into bulimia, and then a food addiction, which I was never addicted to food. But when I created bad patterns and knew I could keep a smaller frame, it did create an addiction, and it ruined years of my life. Now, obviously it was all for a reason because I learned a lot from it, but that for me, unknowingly, like, and really knowingly, like that time of my life, I was consumed with body. Now, even though at 24, 25, I no longer had, like I said, those binge purge behaviors, I still was dysmorphic for a very long time. And I did, like, I thought I'd overcome my eating disorder, but I was still controlled by the look. Interestingly enough, the show for me, when Chris and I were doing extreme weight loss, that was such a beautiful time for me because I realized that my disorders and my struggles were for a reason. And I also realized that my struggles, my disorders were the exact same as theirs, only I could hide mine. I was skinnier. They could not hide their behaviors and what they were doing. Yeah. And so that tied in automatically, an emotional, spiritual, okay, this is so much bigger than a body. There's more to overcome that is still here that I thought was gone, right? Then when I stair-stepped into, I started competing 7 years ago in bodybuilding, which I only had done as a challenge from some people on our show. I was mortified, like scared that would have me falling back into my eating disorder patterns. Actually, it did the exact opposite for me. And it taught me macro counting and flexible dieting and all of the things that helped me not live in fear of food, not live in fear of not exercising, and really understanding how my body worked. So understanding and having that knowledge also freed me from feeling like my body was the most important thing. However, so I thought, it's funny because every phase I remember my mind thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so much more healed than I was back then. I can't believe how I looked at myself back then, right? So I remember being there and thinking that, and thinking I was like healed and I'm good and I'm competing and I'm an IFBB pro. I had done all the things. Just yesterday, it's really interesting. Dave and I were filming videos for the 60-day challenge, some workout videos. And I was watching the replay on my phone. And I had this thought when I looked and I'm like, oh my gosh, if Heidi 2 years ago, when I was still married to Chris, because we split 2 years ago, if Heidi 2 years ago actually saw this video of Heidi today with short hair, not hardly any makeup on, 20 pounds less muscle, not as fit and firm and toned as I was 2 years ago, that Heidi never would believe that this has actually hurt. Like, it's so interesting because I still remember my mind back then told me I have value when I'm pretty and I have long hair and I have big muscles and I'm lean. Where over to my 2 years of divorce, like processing, going through divorce, finding myself, healing my relationship with myself, and actually having such a healthy relationship with Dave, who loves me no matter what, I have gotten to a point where I love myself without the long hair. I love myself without the super fit toned body. So it's been a process for me. Now, funny, I'm sure in 2 more years, I'm going to look back on me today and be like, yeah, that girl had no idea what self-love was. And I feel like I do, you know?
Right. Right. Well, I think that that's a component of grace too, right? Like I've been writing this book, which feels like forever. And I'm so excited it's coming out soon. And it's called Always Things. And it's called Always Becoming. And in the intent of that is around the knowing that, like, you've never actually made it anywhere. Where do you make it? You might have a goal and you might say, oh yes, I got the thing. Immediately when that goal is achieved, what's next? Right. Yeah. And so we're always in this space of striving rather than just knowing that we have an ability to just be and become. And it feels much more easy than to feel like we're constantly chasing something because it's already like within us, which I think is so beautiful that you've had that revelation. And I think as women, right, we have these extra societal pressures that I don't know that men ever even could possibly understand. Yeah. And that's okay. They don't need to. We're stronger and braver than they are. And so I want to ask, because I know a lot of my community is moms as well. And there's this concept of more than a mom, right? And you do so much. Now you've got these bonus babies in your life, which is incredible. How do you manage? And I don't believe in the work-life balance word. And I think I've actually tuned into something that you shared at some point too, that I was like, she gets it. She knows. How do you manage all of that? And then how do you stay out of the mom guilt space?
Well, first I want to comment. I've never heard the more than a mom thing, but automatically when I hear more than a mom, my mind goes to, oh man, women shouldn't care whether they're a mom or a this or a that or this plus this. Like you, who you are, whether maybe you have the label of you're also a mom and you're also this, but you're you. Right. And that is the most important thing. Like you are you. Yes, you're also a mom. Yes, you're also this. Yes, but you are you. I am me, you know. How do I manage all of it? I have major grace with myself. I do. I have to, because I've had periods of my life where I do not. Hi Janice. I just saw something pop up on the screen. I also know that my balance cannot be compared to your balance. It can't be compared to Janice's balance. It can't be compared to anyone else's balance. It can't be compared to Chris's. Like, I know for me, I am the only one who understands what works and what doesn't. I actually had told one of my friends when I was really struggling in the middle of divorce, my friend, I think she actually set up this podcast. She works with me. I was crying. I was having a hard time. And she sent me this amazing excerpt some reporter had done an interview with Nora Roberts. Dave has since shared this. It's so amazing. But essentially, the reporter had asked Nora Roberts, the author, hey, how do you juggle it all? Like, you're a mom. How do you do this? All these different things. How do you do it and not have anyone feeling unimportant or not have things, you know, fall through the cracks? And she said, the important thing is understanding the difference that all of these balls, I'm not juggling 5 balls, I'm juggling 55 balls. And we all are, everybody watching this, I don't care if you're a mom or not, or a dad or not, you are juggling 55 balls. And this advice, she said, was, it's important that you know the difference between the glass balls you're juggling and the plastic balls. The plastic balls can drop, no harm done. The glass ones cannot. Now, I understand that I, Heidi Powell, get to define what the glass balls are and the plastic balls are. Nobody else can tell me. Like Nora Roberts, one of her things was, hey, one day a project deadline might be a glass ball for me and my kid's soccer game might be plastic. And that is okay because that's my balance. So for you, understanding what your glass balls are today and your plastic balls are, and prioritizing accordingly, will completely shift your world. And knowing that glass versus plastic today could shift tomorrow, priorities could shift. You have no obligation to be today what you were yesterday. And
that's so powerful. You know, no one can
be what you are today.
That's one of my favorite like visuals. I'm such a visual learner and it does that, like the bouncy balls. I'm like, oh, that one will bounce. I'll catch it tomorrow. It's going over there and that's okay. Yeah. And I think that it's so critical.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. No, I just hadn't thought about the fact that they could shift, right? Like I always thought about it from like a valuation perspective that like these ones are non-negotiables, right? Like my kids are a non-negotiable. It will be glass. But I like how you're looking at it from a perspective of like day to day. And that allows further grace than even what I had received it as before.
Yeah. And I think too, super important because many of us create the list of what is glass and what is plastic based on what we think society expects of us, what we think our culture, our family, our friends, our peers expect of us. When you're deciding what your glass balls are and what your plastic are, like a lot of women out there, granted, my kids are the most important thing in the world. They are. But if I gave my kids every single thing they wanted, I'd have no time for myself. I wouldn't have time to be productive in other things. Sometimes I have to make one of their wants a plastic ball. And I need to be strong enough as a woman, as a human, to stand up to or not care or let others' opinions bounce off of me because they don't align with my perspective. Does that make sense?
1,000%. Yeah. And I think as I'm thinking through, you're saying it, I'm thinking of an exact example where recently I was leaving my kiddo's school for drop off. Now that school year's back in, hallelujah. And yes. I'm driving them home at school and I'm thinking they have like a s'mores event coming up and I'm going to be somewhere else speaking in another state. And I'm thinking, gosh, like I feel bad that I'm not going to be there. Right. And I'm thinking of the mom guilt component. And I'm like, it's less about society and it's more about how society shaped who I thought I was going to be as a mom versus who I know and who God has allowed me to be in this season. And so there's this constant, like that juxtaposing, conflicting perspective of what is she going to think? And this is who I am. And so it doesn't matter what she thinks. And so how can I serve and show up well? I can create the goodie bags and I can give the notes and the things and I can provide something extra that they get to bring to give out to their friends so that when they're doing that, I'm still there. I'm still present. Yeah. And so we just shift what the thought is of what other people would think into how can we make this the best for our experience for those glass ball things. I love how you're sharing that.
Yeah. Now, and also as moms and humans, I don't want to just corner moms or
for
moms. We have a thing called intuition. And I there's no such thing as balance, but there's balancing. And I'm constantly balancing. And for a while, I like today, for example, I'll be honest, right now at this point in time, right before I hopped on, there's mommy guilt because I'm not going to be able to pick up my kids when they get out of school in a couple hours. I'm just not because of the list of things I need to get done so that I can be present when I'm with them, right? And every time I can't pick up my kids, every time I can't take them to jujitsu or dance, I have mommy guilt. But I also have a thing called intuition. And I can tell when I've gone a little bit too far and I need to rein it in. And I also can tell when I've gone a little bit too far diving into this side and giving them too much and I need to rein it in and give me some more me time. So it's super important that we're always kind of doing a mental, emotional inventory, spiritual inventory, so that we can continue to create balance or bounce back and forth a little to balance what is.
I think the conversation too in parallel to balance is the concept of boundaries and like teaching our kids what that means really early. Because Lord knows I didn't know what it was until I was 30, right? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like I have to create like structure? I don't understand. I just thought I get to be. I just get to like exist and everything will fall into alignment. And so I think it's important for us as parents, like we're displaying that, right? And actually creating language and communicating those things to them. And so that they do know and they can have their own expectations met, because that's probably my biggest thing, even in my marriage, right? Like, and we can shift from that to another conversation, even in business. I have my team and sometimes I'm expecting something of them and I don't ever vocalize it. And then my expectations and my emotions are distraught and my anxiety is higher. And my husband always puts me back in check and he says, well, did you tell him? that that's what they were supposed to do? Did you ask them to show up at that time? Did you just anticipate and expect? And the kids are no different. I thought you were picking me up from school today. And I'm like, no, we talked about this, right? Like, lay those expectations out clearly.
Yeah. And sometimes we don't want to do that because it is hard, right? It's almost like the path of least resistance in the moment as a boss or as a spouse or a partner or a mom, right? And sometimes it is, Dave and I have had this conversation quite a bit over the past couple months. It is so much harder to say no up front. And I've learned over the years, it is so much, but easier down the road. If you can not overpromise, I've become an underpromise overdeliver. Underpromising is very hard because we naturally want to make everybody like us and, oh, we're good enough. We can do this. So look, but then when we can't perform, we can't follow through. So as a mom too, when we're telling our kids, oh yeah, we'll do that, you know, just to pacify them now. Yeah, I'll take you here. Yeah, I'll buy you this. Yeah, I'll do that. And then you can't follow through. That's not good for anybody. And that's really what matters the most. It is to my kids. Like there was something, and I'm not perfect. There was something 2 days ago with Cash, my 10-year-old, that I don't remember telling him I would do because I was busy. And he's probably like, can we do this? I'm like, yeah. And he never even called me on it. But it hit me when I heard a conversation. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I told him I was going to take him to do that. And that was 2 days ago. And I didn't. So I had to go up to him and say, hey, I'm so sorry, bud. I told you I was going to take you to do this. And he's like, it's okay. I know you got busy, but like that is a really hard thing for me. And we're always going to mess up, but it's easier to repair the damage when you are really careful about what you say yes to versus no up front.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I had a girlfriend who she divorced pretty early when her little one was, I think, three or so. And I remember going and visiting her. She was my goddaughter and she had a whiteboard and it would have like Monday through Sunday in the kitchen and it would have little like magnets. It was the cutest little set and it would have a picture of her, it would have a picture of mommy, a picture of daddy. It would have like a school lunchbox, an apple, events or anything like that. And it was all laid out on the calendar. Now, I'll be honest, I can barely keep my own whiteboard for content creation done. So that's not probably my style of parenting, but I witnessed it firsthand. And I was a younger mom than she was. And I got to see how it helped her stay organized and realize that there was a sense of control and realize that there was something that she could anticipate. And when she made those promises, she would go right towards that magnetic set and she would put that promise on that day. And I just thought like, wow, how interesting. And we do this, we retain it or we put it on a shelf if it's not for now, or we have those expectations and then we get let down when they're not met. So I think it's important for us as adults, in even in our fitness realms, even in our businesses, to manage our own expectations of self. So I love the under promise, over deliver, because I am all for like, my level of excellence, right, is like way up here. And I let myself down sometimes. And so like even managing that and then bringing that into the workplace, I'm like, I'm so sorry. And they're like, can you just celebrate? Like, let's just celebrate right now. Like how great it is that you're sitting on the floor in your house. You've been working all day.
Oh, I know.
Like, this is great. This is, you're healthy. You're breathing.
Oh, thank you. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, you should. We don't celebrate those things a lot.
Quick commercial break. I know I hate these things too, but it's so critical that you grow your business for God's sake. And I mean that, pun intended, with all the love in my heart to get you from a place of ideation to activation. Stop dreaming, start doing, stand up, start saying yes to the call that God has on your life. We are going to be joining in Lexington, Kentucky with none other than the beautiful Rise and Grind community with Glenn Lundy, who will be co-hosting this incredible conference. This is the second annual, and he has taken me under his wing to be able to share this stage to motivate and inspire, and I cannot wait to see you there. November 5th through the 7th, if you want to come in for the VIP experience, which who doesn't want to come along for VIP? That's all access passes to the speakers and the artists, and you'll be able to dine with us in the private rooms with your own special bathrooms. So of course, come. 1 day, 2 day, 3 day passes available as well, and we cannot wait, as Glenn and I say, to hug your neck. See you there.
And so I know that you have like all the balls, right? And all these different things and all these different passion projects. Talk to me about, because I think like partnerships and strategic alliances are so critical. And you've got several of those going on. Talk to us about how you jumped into, when you jumped in, because I don't know this specific timeline of jumping into the skincare line.
So skincare line, I actually had my good friend, Brooke Entz, had, she actually reached out to me about 3 or 4 years ago about it. And the timing was not right for me. And so it's a thing I ended up a year and a half later jumping in and working with her on. However, I will say right now I'm going through, because I'm aging. And as you age, hormonally, your skin changes. And I've been having more issues with my skin than ever. So it's a thing where I am currently trying to create a new skincare line that I can use for my skin. This is
amazing.
Also a year. Yeah. And so that is one of the many things that I do right now, is being a partner in a skincare line. But also over the past year, which is, you know, I got involved with the skincare line a couple years ago, but over the past year, I have redefined what my glass balls and my plastic balls are in life. I have. And you talked about earlier on the idea of we're always striving instead of just being and letting be. This last year for me has been so awesome, because I have reprioritized those balls, and my kids and my family and my peace and my happiness is number one. And so anything that is above and beyond that right now is taking a backseat, and actually my time being spent recreating in a skincare line is taking a backseat. And so that's not something I'm actively, busily pursuing every day. It's there, it's doing well, it's a great line. But it's also a thing I've had to say, okay, right now, like I think you had said, hey, I got to kind of shelf it, let it go on autopilot. And right now I got to focus on the stuff that brings me happiness. Even if it's, you know, scaling it all down. So I don't feel like I already have 15 projects happening, truly. Yeah. And so it's like, I know I can't do any of them well if I'm trying to do them all at the same time. And so I have to really focus. And right now I'd say my biggest things are, number one, how I can mom and how I can be happy myself. And number two, I'm heavily involved in the supplement line that I have, and heavily involved in all of the products and the challenges that I'm creating. Things that I know will help create happiness and joy in somebody else's life are the things that right now that are at the front of my list. Money, I don't even care if something brings a lot of money. I don't care about it right now. I care about things that are going to create change and give me fulfillment.
I love that. And I think that's a beautiful place to be. I've been talking to my husband about that, and he's also an entrepreneur. So that having the dual entrepreneurial lifestyle and the dual entrepreneurial mindset, right? Like we're constantly like, ooh, this would be cool. This would be great. Let's do this. Oh, that sounds great. And so you constantly are like creating. And I think it's really important for us as creators and entrepreneurs to take those times where we're like, okay, let's just breathe it all in. Let's figure out what are we really loving to do? What has been created on a whim because it was a good idea, but not actually what we're passionate about. I'm in that season right now where I have an incredible membership community that I've been serving for several years. And it just is not like, there's not as much symmetry as there used to be. Yeah. And I don't want to not like serve the community. I'm a people pleaser. And so I try very hard to be like, I can't do this, but I can serve you in this way, right? And so I think it's important. It is to try and figure out, you're not like leaving them. You're not dipping out because you're evolving, but in fact, you're evolving, and I'm inviting them to come along to the other opportunities, which is no different than what you're creating with Dave right now.
Yeah. So I had this exercise I did 8 or 9 months ago, maybe 10. I was coaching because I miss coaching. So I decided to do a coaching program for people. I took a limited number of spots. And in the middle of coaching, I realized I preach all the time and I teach people how to create their whys. Always, always. Yet I had not recreated mine in years. And the way that I teach a why statement, it's an I am statement. So who are you? And for it, like that why, that I am should be the guiding compass in your life. As women, I will say for me, I tend to associate worthiness or enoughness with, am I doing, do I have enough projects on my plate? Like, can I, look how valuable I am, right? Like, where in reality, and it's like the idea of having stillness and silence and maybe time to snuggle with your kids okay, does that mean I'm not doing enough? You know, kind of a thing. And so I decided in that time, okay, I got to shed. I had 25 projects at that time. I need to shed this because I am not available for my kids. I'm not available for myself. I'm not available for life. I'm not available for the universe to tell me what it needs to tell me, for God, for I'm not available for incoming, for creation. I'm not. I'm so busy creating, I'm not letting creation come to me. So I actually stopped and I did my, I worked my why. I went through my process. I did my why and my I am statement. And my commitment to myself at that time was, I am laying out everything I have, everything. And if it does not align with my I am statement, with my why, I don't care how much money it brings in or it should bring in. It's a no for me. Like if it does not allow me to fulfill my purpose on earth, if it doesn't fill my soul, if it doesn't do all of the things that I need it to do, if it doesn't let me have peace, if I get a pit in my stomach, I have to not care about what others might think. And I need to cut that off my plate so I can be. I loved when you said that earlier, just be and let the universe, God, spirituality do its thing. And it's been the most beautiful thing in my life. Like I've worked, I don't mean work, I don't work hard, not lazy, but I've not overworked as much as I did in the past and more like abundance has come to
right.
me. And I'm not,
oh, that was the word I was going to say, like that understanding of it's the law of attraction, essentially, mm-hmm. right?
And I like experience it. Yeah.
And it doesn't, a lot of people, especially if they're in their faith, in their Christian belief system, they're like, that's woo woo. You can't talk about that. That's not real. God doesn't work that way. And I'm like, well, are you sure?
Here's the thing. I have started reading, Dave's ex told me to read a book called Super Attractor. She started listening to it and she sent me over text and said, you need to read this. It's by Gabby Bernstein.
Uh-huh. I love her.
Amazing. And I mean, when you listen to it, you can see, and I love how she talks about that in the opening of her book. You putting out and manifesting something, isn't that how we pray? Like that's what prayer is.
Exactly what it is.
And like, you know, if somebody wants to say it's the universe, somebody else calls that God. Like there is, you know, there, does that make sense?
100%.
To me, it's just good. It's energy. It's love.
Yeah.
It's
frequency. It's all of that. Yeah. I am totally in on that. And that's the thing. And I don't know if it's a new thought pattern, if it's new revelation that's inserting into the church, or if people are tired of the church, the box church, not the church, and they're removing themselves in this exploration and they're now accepting other things. Because there was an example this morning, I'm really active on Clubhouse. And one of the girls was talking about how when she looks back into history, essentially the intuition that you were speaking of earlier was what like witches were considered to do. And there is all this whole realm of like witchcraft and all this stuff. And really, they were just tapping into what we consider woo-woo now. And it was just what we're talking about. It was energy. It was manifestation. It was abundance. It was this concept that I can willfully call this into being in my life. And you can also reject something too. And so it was interesting. I don't have any research on that. So I don't know exactly any of the things that they were practicing. But when she said that, I'm like, that's really sad that there was an entire group of people completely ostracized. And I think the church is just in this interesting footing right now of exploration.
Yeah. And I hear that and I'm like, gosh, how sad. Because them using a different language or terminology to call upon and have things. I was raised in a Mormon church. That's what prayer and the priesthood and all those things was. It was people using their power. Same thing. It's just when you label it under a box church, it's accepted, right? I believe, and who knows, but part of me wonders if the way churches and religions were created was actually from people who had that kind of real manifestation power, and they created something that worked for the masses, because truthfully, it's hard for the masses to understand energy and when I just most people, right? But when you can put a terminology and a language to it and box it up as a church, right? And a religion, and it's very cookie cutter for everybody. It's easy. It's acceptable. It's all the same. It's almost like some of the church lost touch with like what the heart, it's the soul of
100%. That is exactly what it is. They got in just like, I don't know if you've watched The Chosen at all. Have you seen my gosh, you guys would love it. It's fully self-created. It was on YouTube originally for the first season just to gain traction, and it's out of Hollywood, so it has no affiliation. He was a Hollywood producer at one point, and it's basically personifying the Bible, right? And they're doing everything, I believe, in Texas, which is shocking that you hadn't heard or seen about it.
I haven't seen most things. Dave's
okay. I love it. So I am not, I literally don't watch TV, but I kept hearing. And I'm like, okay. And it became one of those binge watch scenarios where you're like, there's no way this is so great. But the reason I bring it up in this conversation is because with that personification of like the soul of the Bible and like the soul of faith and the understanding that there's much more, you realize that the Sadducees and Pharisees, who were the religious, were actually against what Jesus was trying to teach. And so if we get back to the root of it, and we realize in the Francis Chan methodology, if you're following any like big box pastors, he believes in this idea that the church has become lukewarm. And they're not really for anything anymore. They're just for their rules and for their denomination. And they've lost touch with the ability to experience those highs, experience those miracles, if you will. And that's why we don't see anything like that here in America, where other countries experience miracles and breakouts all the time. I just think we have access and we're missing out.
Yeah, I agree. I actually stopped going to the same church over and over. So I do go to churches. I do watch sermons. I will do all the things, but I will go where I feel inspired. So I believe that, again, God, universe, spiritual, and it will touch me when it touches me. And that it's, I don't do it to be a part of a religion. I'm not doing it to have people see me go to church. I'm doing it because I feel like that inspires me to be a better person. I don't care if it's this church or not this church and this, you know, practice, whatever it is. If it's something that makes me want to be better and makes me want to contribute to the world and makes my life more peaceful, that's what I'm in for.
Yeah. I'm coming wherever it is. I love that. And I think, you know, it's interesting from a parenting perspective too. And like, what does that look like for them? My kiddos go to a Quaker school. So I don't know the parallel of Quakerism and Mormonism, but I know that there's like the, there's Quakers believe it's a segment of Protestant. I don't know all that stuff. I just think that there's a God, right? Like I don't really believe in the segmentation. I don't believe in the segmentation of that, but they go to this place because it's an independent school and it's not a public school. And they teach about spices, and spices are basically their methodology for everything, which stands for simplicity, peace, integrity, community, equality, and stewardship.
I love that.
When I heard that, I was like, yes. Like, I just love that. And I think if people stopped like looking through these, like these glasses, and they actually give up the bifocals and all that, and they actually say like, let me look at something with new, fresh perspective like this, it's been transformational for my kids. And I remember my little one, when we were baking at the time, she was like three, she had just started preschool there. And she told Cooper, my son, who was a year and a half older and kind of like the bully big brother, Cooper, you're not being a good citizen. And I was like, that's awesome. I didn't teach her that. And so I just think we have an ability as parents now to infuse these next generations with something that's totally different than what we experienced when we were younger.
Yeah, I agree. My two oldest kids, their dad, they still go to a Mormon church and I love it. And then my kids with me will go wherever I want to go and we'll watch. So we kind of, I believe in allowing my kids to see all of the things and not just see, but experience and feel all of the things. And I believe in supporting and loving them in whatever their choice is in their, you know, journey toward betterment is really what it is. And so I love it. I also love when my kids come home and say something really amazing like that. And I can be like, I didn't teach it to them. I wish I did.
I know. But that's why it takes a village, right? Like there's influences everywhere. There's going to be other influences when they're out of the house in towards their spirituality, their mental health, their physical well-being. They're going to learn a new diet. All these things are going to be exposed to them. And it's just and that's why it's so important that we have that component, like we talked about at the forefront, of self-love, that we actually steward our time the way that we intend to, so that they aren't just spoon-fed their whole life, but in fact, they have an ability to self-regulate, experience those emotions, communicate and learn and receive from other people, and then make their own way in the world.
Yeah. Which is so funny, because I feel like I was raised in a generation where things were done for you, and not done for you, but more like you were told what to believe. So also raised, again, Mormon church, right? I was told what I believed. I was told how I felt. I was told how to behave. I was a very, very, very good girl. And so I had very little experience with making decisions on my own. I mean, I was like the best child you could have. I had an eating disorder, but like outside of that, like I checked every box. I had great grades. And I will say it was very hard for me in the real world to find my way, because I never got to make mistakes under the care of my family, right? I just didn't make mistakes. I was taught to not make mistakes.
Likewise.
And
if you do, you don't talk about it.
Yeah. And like the disciplinary action was so large in our home, and just in the church, because there's guilt, right? Like there's the shame and the guilt and all the different things that come with it, where I'm trying to parent in a way where my kids know that I love them no matter. I'm not saying my mom and dad didn't. My mom and dad were the greatest. They really were. But it's just a different time. And me, though, I naturally jump into the role where I'm like, oh, no, they can't do that. I don't want them to get hurt. I don't want them. So I am that controlling parent. Now, I have to have people remind me, you got to let them live. You got to let them try. Yeah. You got to let them stumble. But the stumbling is, and my kids and the idea that they might hurt because they stumble is so hard for me. But it's such a necessary part of growth. And I know that.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing to even self-evolve as they evolve and learning from them. I mean, that parenting has 100% been my biggest get on your knees and pray harder. they make me become every single day. I'm curious, when you were saying that, like, you went from this lifestyle and then enter into 25 projects, right? Like you've had this upward incline of your career. Did you always have that like entrepreneurial bug? Like, did you go to college for that? What was your path in that way?
So I do think it's ingrained in me. So I was right out of high school, I was a trainer. I grew up in a very fit family. So that was kind of, I would say that's my minor, right? It's crazy. That is my minor. My major, I think the gifts God gave me, my major is in business. And I love it. I love knowing that I can strategically create like a world where people can actually change their lives through fitness and through emotional, spiritual, mental health. I love that. But I did kind of tiptoe into fitness for a little while as I was younger. And then I quickly got out because I was married, and I ended up getting married, had two kids, dove into real estate. So I was in real estate up until the time, and I was doing fix and flips. So I did home loans, but I'd be like, oh, I can get some hard money and I can buy a house and I can renovate it and I can flip it and help somebody get in for a lot cheaper.
Cool. I didn't know that.
That's kind of, until I met Chris. When I met Chris, we met at a self-improvement seminar after I was divorced. I had two kids, and, this is my second husband, Chris, he was really struggling, and he was a dreamer, not a doer. And I'm like, great, I'm a freaking doer. Like I can.
Let's go.
I can get your taxes filed. I can reconcile your bank account. So I actually just was there to help him, and he pulled me back into fitness. Like, and together we created businesses around fitness. We created a television show. We did all of the things. And I was flexing my, we both were trainers, right?
Yeah.
I was flexing my entrepreneurial muscles. And also I'm more of an emotional healer. And he's more of a physiological healer. So he did a lot of the diet and exercise, and I was more, okay, let's talk about your eating disorder. Let's talk addiction. So we had very great strengths and weaknesses that complemented each other, to create. And after our separation, I mean, it's been great because he's dreaming, he's doing his thing, but it did then leave me with a ton of projects. I'm like, okay, wait, what am I going to do
now?
And I do think, you know, with a TV show, I am a very much a hustler. Just, I have to stop myself. But with a TV show, a lot of opportunity comes. And for some reason, there's a part of me, again, that part of me that feels like I need to prove I'm worthy and enough and valuable. I have had a hard time for a long time saying no to anything. I wanted, okay, wait, yeah, I can do that. I wanted.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And I didn't want to miss out. I had FOMO. I like could not. It's like I went from having an eating disorder and a food addiction to an opportunity addiction. Like, okay, Chris, maybe we can do this. I had a lot. I could not. I did not know to where I, my appetite was insatiable. And I got to the point over the past 2 years where I'm like, enough. Yeah, I gotta do what's right for me. And I have to feel okay being hungry a little bit. So like with my food addiction in the past, I had to learn to feel okay being hungry, because you're always, when you have an addiction, you cannot, you can never get enough. Right. And so, and that hunger is nice, because it has, that's when reflection comes. That's when it's like fasting in church.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Soul. And same here with work. When I am hungry, I can sit in it and I can say, this is great. What do I need to learn? What am I trying to be told? And where do I go next?
Right. And then it, you know, goes full circle to that whole concept of intuition and how it's parallel to like, where does God want you to go next? How purpose is aligned to that. And it just feels like, again, that, that abundance factor of like, this is the way to go. And you're still enough. You're silent enough. You're able to meditate enough. You're able to get present with self and emotions enough that you know which way to go, because it's being told to you, versus living in that supersonic speed, like trap almost. And like, sure. And then you goes back to what I think is really profound that I need to be better at, is like under promise, over deliver.
Yeah.
So now you get to do that better with everything that you're doing. People are like, wow, Heidi came out of the word works. You're like, I actually do exist and I do know what I'm doing. Like, give me a minute to like put it back into wheels in motion, because now you're touching it more often, everything that you're doing, and gets more of your attention. So it's done better.
Yeah. And it's just like, you just brought up something that connected to the kids. It's like, I was telling you, when my kids, Cash had asked me to do something when I was really busy. Right. And I was so busy. I said yes to something that I shouldn't have. Right. I wasn't paying attention to that communication and that promise that I was putting out there that was going to be broken. Same. I think in life, everyday life, when we are keeping ourselves so busy, we can't listen. If God is trying to tell us something, or anyone on this planet that has great advice, we are too busy to listen and take in what we're supposed to do. And we are very likely missing out on what our calling is, because we are scared of not being busy.
That's really good. And I always come to these with this desire for conviction. I say this every show and I'm always like waiting. I'm like, what's it going to be? What do you need me to hear? And I think it's funny because I'm the same. Like my schedule is like blocked to a T. Like I plan, I'm going to take a bathroom break right there. Like literally, oh, I know that I'm going to pee at that time. And so I wake up so early. And now I've been creating this new morning routine where I'm actually like creating things in rhythm versus just waking up and being. And so now God's like, okay, you're going to wake up at 4 on your own terms. I'll wake you up at 3. I'm like, no, right? Like, please don't do this to me. And I'm telling you, he'll knock. And I know if I don't listen, I'm going to be out of obedience with where he wants me to go in that day. And then I'm going to be thinking all day, man, I should have woke up and talked to him. Man, I should have figured out what that was going to be. And so there's promptings, but it only happens when you are willing to release your schedule to something other than your schedule or your phone.
So true. I don't even want to. Mine's face down on the ground right here. I don't even want to see it.
Like, that's good. I get it. I was recording my Audible for my book earlier. So I was in the same chair for 4 hours. Yeah. I had my phone in the other room so that I wouldn't even, no distractions, right? Like, let's go. And so I, as you were sharing and just the congruency of what I've learned from Dave and how he shows up in the world as of the last couple of years since I've been following him. Are you guys going to write a book together? I feel like
not to give you
another thing on your plate, because that is not my intent.
That's a good question. That's actually something like he and I have been, we had a conversation the other day where we're like, okay, how do we do this so that we never lose our individual identities? Because the second you do, I don't want it to turn into what Chris and I had. And I'm sure he doesn't want it to turn into what he and Rachel had. So it's like, how can we continue to find our individuality and our individual purpose and then touch just enough in the things like, for example, a 60-day challenge. But I don't know. Maybe someday we will. But I also think he's an author and he's a wonderful author. And not to say I wouldn't do it because of that, but I want to let him shine in that he is, you know, and I don't want him to feel like I'm doing it because he's doing it. Cause again, I've been there with Chris in ways. I want him to, there's enough space for all of us to do something great. So maybe a book. He has begged me. He's been like, can we do one together? And all
because he's due to start writing his next one here soon with this new one coming out.
I know. I don't like to write. I can write an Instagram.
I was going to say your blog and everything. Okay.
But not the way, like the thought of a book that size, Chris and I wrote one together. Right. And, but it was diet and exercise and it was the life lessons that we created. Right. I don't even like, I remember that process twice. He and I did it. And I'm like, oh man, I don't know.
Well, the cool thing is there's so many new things now with you being natural, like speaking and sharing in that regard. It can be transcribed. You can just have conversations and then those are kitted. But I get it. I just had to ask.
Maybe.
I just had to know.
Maybe.
So fun. Well, Heidi, I am so grateful to you. I want my community to be able to get into your 60-day challenge. Is there, I didn't have a link to it on what your gal had sent over. Is it ready?
I don't know that I have one right now, but I should have one by like the end of the day.
I'll find it on your stories and share it when we share the podcast. Okay.
Yeah, I'll have Alexa send one to you if that's okay.
Awesome.
We have a list right now where people can give emails, but our page is not completely done yet. So
okay, I got it. I get it.
Done today.
Soon enough. 60-day challenge, you guys. It's going to be fun. We'll do it together. Heidi, you're such a treasure. Are there any final words you want to leave to the Fit and Faith community?
You know, I'm going to leave the same thing I just left at Epic Weekend, an event where 100 people from around the country, the world actually came in. And what I said to them, and I believe it, everybody listening, this might be so far left field, but I feel like everyone needs to hear that you are worth it. You are valuable. You are enough exactly the way that you are. And I appreciate yourself. Love yourself for your imperfections. I think it's so dang important. And we don't do enough of it. We are our own worst critic. If we can see ourselves the way that other people see us or the way that God saw us, we would be unstoppable.
That is so true. You guys, what a treasure. Own that message. Go back, replay a couple seconds and just have that be affirmation for you. If you don't believe it yet, I think that's a huge piece of becoming into the belief system is that if you replay those affirmations time and time again, they become ingrained, no different than the habit, right? And so speak life over yourself, celebrate when you do something, even tiny. And today, just being here, we celebrate you. So thank you for joining me. I'm so grateful for your time, and I'll let your bum get off the floor and go dance or something. I love it. See you later.
Thank you.
Hey y'all, it's me again. I hope in today's episode you sense an ignite to an ember within you, something mentally, physically, emotionally, or spiritually moving that creates and sustains a fire within your journey. Before you go, let's solidify the flame. I'd love for you to take a step right now in declaring your takeaway by snapping a pic of the episode you tuned into, share your sparked moment, and tag me at fitandfaith_podcast or me personally at tamara.andress on Insta. I hope that I can keep you accountable and also share you with the greater community of the Fit and Faith podcast listeners. We're totally in this together. Community over competition is the motto, right? I'd also be incredibly grateful if you took an extra second to leave a review on iTunes or your podcast listening app. I'd love to feature your thought in the next episode and give you and your passion project a big shout out. You know I'm a writer, so I love words and I can't wait to read what you have to say. I'm ready to fuel the flame with you together. And until next time, blessings over your joy, health, wealth, and wholeness. Tune in next time.